my yeshiva, I gave a 10-minute halacha shiur on this topic of tcheles, but I felt like 10 minutes wasn't enough, so it would be good to be able to expound on it a little bit. When you discuss the issue of tcheles, which a lot of people are interested in and want to talk about, there are really three separate issues that need to be discussed. The first issue that you need to discuss is, how do you know whether something is tcheles or is not tcheles? I mean, how can you ever know whether we've actually found it? In fact, the Rizina Rebbe, when he put out his svarim, where he thought he found the real tcheles, first he had three different svarim. He had a sefer that was about proving what the real tcheles is, and that was not the first one. The first sefer was, let's say I find something that's the real tcheles, that I think is the real tcheles. Should we use it? That was his first sefer. And that's what the second topic you would discuss is. First, do we have tcheles? Is it really tcheles? Do we think it might be tcheles? Second, if it really might be tcheles, even if it's not definitely tcheles, should we use it or should we not use it? Is there any reason to say not to use it? So that second topic. And then the third topic would be, let's say you should use it, now how do you use it? How many strings should you dye with the tcheles, and how should you tie it? There are so many different shittos in Rishonim about how many strings. There are three different shittos, whether it's one out of eight strings, meaning half of one long string, or one out of four, meaning two out of eight, right, one full string, or whether it's half the strings. It's two out of four that are dyed with tcheles. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin because Shulchan Aruch didn't have tcheles, so it didn't paskin on Hilchas tcheles. So how would you paskin? And also, how many knots, how many chulios, exactly how you would tie it. It's not so pashut. You don't tie it the way our minhag is to tie when we tie only lavan. So that would be a third topic of discussion. So again, the three topics are, do we have it? If number two, if we have it, should we use it? Number three, if we're going to use it, how do we use it? So I want to focus on number two tonight. Number one is very technical. A lot of marmakomos from Midrashim and from Chazal, and a lot of science involved in terms of figuring out whether what they found is the real tcheles. So number one is not going to be the topic for tonight, although it is a very interesting topic. And number three, we're not going to get to. But number two, which is if we have it, or if we think we might have it, should we use it, is the topic of the evening. Now, in terms of, just to give a little bit of attention to number one, there's some basic history, and that is that the Rizina Rebbe 150 years ago found what he thought was tcheles. He did a lot of research on tcheles. He became very, very involved in looking for tcheles, and he found something that he thought was legitimately tcheles, and he sent letters to all the Gedolei Yisrael saying that that he found tcheles and that he would like them to sign on that they should use it. He got lots of responses. Most of them were in the negative, that people were not interested, either because they weren't convinced by his findings or because of other reasons. Rav Herzog did his PhD thesis on tcheles, and he found that the Rizina Rebbe was wrong. He found that he was fooled by a chemist who had shown him that you take the dye of the fish that the Rizina Rebbe had found, and you add a clear chemical to it, and it dyes it blue, and it turns into a blue dye. And the Rizina Rebbe just figured the chemical speeds up the process, but it doesn't really do anything substantive to change it. But as it turns out, the chemical that the chemist adds would turn anything blue. So it's not something that was unique about that fish, and the Rizina Rebbe was certainly an Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od, and he just, it seems that he was mistaken on the identity of the particular chilazo.
It's not a fish
Okay. Now, the Rav Herzog then suggested a different possibility. Problem is, they were never able to do it in a way that it really turned blue. We have what they found recently in Eretz Yisrael in the past couple of decades is the Murex trunculus snail, which is a snail that you crack open its shell and there's a dye in there. And the problem was they had used this snail in the dyeing industry for centuries already. It wasn't ever lost or hidden or anything. So the question that they had to deal with was, why did no one use it for tcheles? And the answer seems to be that they knew they had the snail and they knew they could use it as a dye, but when they used it as a dye, it normally turned purple, it didn't turn blue. And they couldn't figure out how to make it blue. And turns out it has to be exposed to sunlight at a certain point in the process where the interaction with the sunlight causes it to dye blue. Now they don't use the sunlight anymore, they use chemicals that mimic the reaction that it would have with sunlight. But it's a natural process. It's not like you're putting in blue food coloring to turn it into blue. It's a natural process by exposing it to sunlight, and it seems that the process was lost. Not that the snail was lost, but that the process of how to make tcheles out of it was lost. And there are many people that were convinced that, based on many rayas, again, which we're not going to discuss now, that would be topic number one, that we're not going to discuss, that this is the real deal, that this is the real tcheles. Now, the idea of wearing tcheles is a mitzvah d'oraisa. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Torah to have tcheles on your tzitzis. If it's the real tcheles, it's an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa that for centuries has not been fulfilled. So what's the reason to say not to use it? Why would someone avoid dafka using the tcheles? So I found, through reading through a variety of the poskim, of the modern day poskim, I found 9 objections to the use. I was hoping for a 10th, because it's always better when you can title the shiur 10 reasons not to wear tcheles and why they're all wrong, or you know, something like that. But I found 9 reasons that the post can bring not to wear tcheles. So if you look, the most often quoted tshuva on the topic in terms of contemporary poskim is probably the tshuva of Rav Eliyashiv. It's in the first Maramakom in the packet. Rav Eliyashiv deals with Al-Dvar HaShe'ela Imroi V'Nachol Nahatil Tzitzit Tzavua B'Tzeva Tcheles. Is it appropriate to use tcheles achrei shel das chokrim bizmanenu, especially since nowadays there are scientists, baru lahem shematua sechilazon shamra Torah, that researchers that are sure that they found the chilazon that it says in the Torah, they found the right chilazon. Va'afim natil safek bedavar, and even if you want to say, how could you be sure? You don't know for sure. Mikol makom lo garami kala ilan. It's still no worse than using any other dye on your tzitzis. If you have discolored tzitzis, or tzitzis that are dyed any color, it's still kosher. It's not puzzle. It doesn't puzzle your tzitzis. Umeidach, and if you think about the risk-reward here, it's phenomenal. What's the risk? That you're going to have the wrong color tzitzis. Big deal. You're still getting the mitzvah of tzitzis. What's the reward? What's the gain? Umeidach marvichim shema be'emes u'achilazon amiti. It might be the real thing. And you're doing the actual mitzvah of tzitzis. It's phenomenal. However, he says, this question has been around for a long time. And we know that more than 100 years ago, one of the great Hasidic rabbis thought he found the chilazon. That's, of course, a reference to the Rizina Rebbe. The hichriz kibel am ve'eda she'in lo safek b'davar, and he made major announcements that he's got no doubt, he's 100% sure, he's got it, this is the chilazon. V'hirish alamos, and he rattled worlds, you know, in order to make such a rash about this. Lama misalma mikiyum mitzvah se'min ha'tara, and he started criticizing people who wouldn't wear it. How could you ignore a mitzvah d'al reis of wearing tcheles? Ach gedoli yisol b'davar lo hiskimu imal. But the consensus of the Gedolim of that generation was to not agree with him. And it didn't take long till scientists and researchers came along, and they were able to show that he was wrong, that this Chassidish Rebbe was wrong. And rather, they suggested another thing that might be the chilazon, that might be the real chilazon. And then, another few years passed, came along some scientists, that the second suggestion, that Ravitzok suggested, is wrong, and that they have the real chilazon. So Rav Eliyashiv says, I guess this would be the 10th reason, I didn't even count this as one of the reasons. Rav Eliyashiv says, who knows? If history is any indication, someone's going to come along in another few years and prove that the tcheles that they're using now is not the real tcheles. It's happened so many times before, why is it not going to happen now? Now, is that an argument to not use it? It doesn't seem like the strongest argument not to use it, because he didn't really respond to the risk-reward factor. So granted, I will grant the possibility that it's possible that a scientist will come in 20, 30, 40 years from now and say that this is wrong. It's also possible that they won't, and that this is really the right. And it's possible Mashiach is going to come tomorrow and he's going to tell us, yeah, you guessed right, that's it. That's the real chilazon. This is the real tcheles. Right? That's possible. One of the rayas that they have that it's real tcheles is that the Gemara refers to a forged tcheles, which was cheaper, that was taken from indigo dye, from a tree. And the dye that they get from the tree is chemically identical to the dye that they get from the Murex trunculus. So that's why it was the perfect forgery, because it's chemically identical, it's the exact same dye. But if you get it from the tree, it's possible. If you get it from the fish, it's from the snail, it's kosher. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be the same question with using the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? I mean, what have we got to lose? You know, maybe that's.
Good. So Rav Moshe was at Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichron Levracha. It's a week after his Yahrzeit now, right? Asked Rav Moshe that question. He said, "Look, we're machmir for so many different things. Why would you not be machmir for Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? How could you?" Meaning, it makes so much sense. Well, what do you have to lose?
Hope you don't.
What? So Rav Moshe's response was that if I was machmir for every shita about tefillin that's out there, every possible shita of tefillin, I would have to buy myself 50 pairs of tefillin. Because it's not just Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. It's much more complicated. There are different types of ksav. There's a whole series of machlokasim that relate to tefillin. So he said it would be ein l'davar sof. So I stick with what I've got. But that's a different story, because it's not that we're not being the kind of mitzvah of tefillin. We're being the kind of mitzvah of tefillin lefi our mesorah of what a kosher tefillin is. Right now, no one will tell you that if you're wearing only lavan, you're being the kind of the mitzvah of tcheles. We're for sure not doing the mitzvah right now. So it's not that we're doing it based on our mesorah. We're not doing it because we don't have it, or we think we don't have it. Now the question. So then the question of what you got to lose is a much stronger question. Right? So you have to frame it totally differently. So Rav Eliashiv's first argument that ideas have come up in the past and they've been rejected, so this one might also be rejected, doesn't seem to really address the issue. The issue is, okay, you're right, it might be rejected, but it also might not be. And if it might not be, the risk reward is tremendous. You risk having a wrong color string, which doesn't even possibly fit this, and the reward is tremendous. The reward is that you get mitzvah d'oraisa that people haven't done in centuries. So Rav Eliashiv says, argument number one, not to like it. V'nei tainas ha-beis ha-levi neged ha-tcheles shel ha-rabbi mradzin zal. The reason the Beis Halevi didn't like the idea of the tcheles, of the Radzina Rebbe, hu she'im ha-dag ha-ya b'metzios, v'gam ho-tsa'as tzivo ha-yu yadua b'kol zman me'azman me'esh nivska ha-tcheles me'Yisrael. If this fish / snail was available and accessible throughout all of history, and Jews had access to it the entire time, v'im kol zeh lo levshu avoseinu, and still they weren't using it, hareyu ki'ilu yeshlonu b'kabalu u'masoros me'avoseinu, ki zeh hadag u'tzva'o, einenu hachilazon b'atcheles. It's as if we have a specific masorah that this isn't it. If you've had this dye available and you haven't used it, and that's been going on for years already, that's a mesorah that this isn't it. Even though you have all the simanim in the world. Okay, so let's analyze that argument. Is that argument a valid argument in our case?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because the fact that people didn't do it before really is not a proof that it wasn't a real thing.
Okay, but the Beis Halevi thought it was.
He said the same thing that a minute ago that about the Reginas. Thought it was good, and everyone else said, no, it's not good, and it proved not to be good.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the fact that it...
But before it was proven not to be good, the Beis Halevi said, I'm not going to wear it anyway. Because even if your rayas are all good, that it's the right fish, the fact that no one's been wearing it, and we've always had access to this fish, and we've always been able to use it...
But didn't know that this was a fish that it was exactly the same as the indigo.
Good. So
didn't know that this... has a little bit better possibility of being real.
Right, and I think the main point is, yes, we've had access to the snail, and we've known that it produces a dye. We didn't know how to make it blue. We lost the idea, we lost the knowledge of how to make it into tcheles. Now that we've gained that knowledge, so that's not a Kabbalah from it. The reason our forefathers didn't wear it and didn't use it was because they didn't have that knowledge. It all turned purple. They assumed it was argaman. They didn't know that it could turn into cheles. So we have the ability to turn it into tcheles, to make it tcheles, so then we should. So that argument, again, not the strongest argument in the whole world when it comes to our particular case. Second argument of Rav Eliashiv, Vagon mikutna b'sifro Yeshua Smalko, Beis, or Kasav, it should be Chaf with a dash, Kvar huchsak eitzel Yisrael ze yoser me'elf shana shenignezu atcheles. He says we have a chazaka that tcheles has been hidden for over 1,000 years. Upshat lashon ha'sifri parshas brachu midrasho shel harizal maskim lozeh she'in tcheles el bizman beis hamikdash. There are midrashim that indicate that tcheles is only going to be around when there's a beis hamikdash. That there's no such thing as tcheles when there's no beis hamikdash, and tcheles is meant to be hidden until the beis hamikdash comes back. So that's argument number two,
and
that this tcheles. You don't like it? Why?
Because that's a medrash of some sort, but it has no bearing on the fact that that tcheles really has to be only with the beis hamikdash.
Excellent. Take a look at the next source. Just flip the page for just a second. Rav Sternbach's Chuvos v'Hanhagos Chelek Aleph Simon Chav Vav, in the second paragraph that begins Vihine, he writes Vihine be'etzem hasheila imzel tcheles olo. He says, the actual question of whether the Murex trunculus is tcheles or is not tcheles, we don't really know, he says. Aval, besod tcheles, one of the secrets of tcheles, shedoma l'rekia, where we say that the Gemara Menachos says that when you look at the tcheles looks like the sky. Ikara bizman, what does that mean? Shemazir, ikara bizman sheroen mashkachas l'kim bagaloi. What that means is that tcheles emerges when we see the sky clearly, when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we see the presence of the Shekhinah. And during the days of the Tanaim, they had that clarity of vision. They had that Kedusha, that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they had a Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Tcheles was able to exist. But now the world has become darker, and the ways of God are more and more hidden. V'lachein ha'tcheles nelma, and that's why tcheles has been lost. Ad she'yiskala b'vias Mashiach tzedkenu, until Mashiach comes and brings it back for us. V'lo nira shedavka b'zman hazeh she'ein hester kamohu zachinu l'skalas ha'tcheles. He says it's just totally illogical to assume that of all the times in history where God is going to bring the tcheles back, which is supposed to be at a time of clarity, where everything is good and you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's no Hester Panim, it's going to come right after the Holocaust, the greatest times of Hester Panim. So it just doesn't, it's not logical. And then what does he begin the next paragraph with? Amnam bazelo kovim halacha. Rav Sternbach says, look, in all honesty, that's not how we paskan halachas. We don't paskan halachas by talking about Hester Panim and when it should come, when it doesn't. Halacha is, no, is it tcheles, is it not? You have gemaras that define what tcheles is. Does it fit the bill, does it not fit the bill? Halacha's halacha. You want to quote all the midrashim you want, that doesn't help. That doesn't help determine the halacha. And Rav Sternbach acknowledges that. So essentially, he takes argument number two of Rav Eliashiv and says, I hear it from a hashkafic perspective, but that's not going to determine how we're going to paskin. Go back to Rav Eliashiv. Argument number three. Gam meleches hatzviya lo nisbarer. We don't even know how to do the dyeing properly. According to Rashi, the pot that you cook the dye in, you're not allowed to have any other ingredients besides for the dam mechilazon. According to the Rambam, though, the pot that you cook the dye in, you have to have other ingredients. So miyachriya b'zman hazeh. So how are you going to pass them? Rashi or the Rambam? Which rabbi is going to say, oh, I could tell you the Rambam's wrong and Rashi's right, or Rashi's wrong and the Rambam's right? When you had a Shulchan Aruch that had the shoulders to paskin such a shayla, it's wonderful. We don't have a Shulchan Aruch that has the shoulders to paskin. So no one has broad enough shoulders to paskin such a shayla. Mele, we have nothing to do. What are we going to do? How are you going to do it? So no, is that a strong argument or a weak argument? Machlokes, we showed him how to prepare it. Either way, it's puzzle if you do the other way. And how are you going to paskin? Good, you hear that argument?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it really true that you have to cook the dye?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they actually cook it. They expose it to sunlight or whatever.
Well,
question is.
But the other thing is, the whole, say, risk reward,
So the argument against this is, okay, so I might be wrong. And if I'm wrong?
Nothing.
I have discolored tzitzis, which is kosher anyway. And if I'm right? I got the mitzvah d'oraisa. So I'll take the Rambam, let's say. Okay, you're right. Rashi might be right. 50-50. Rashi might be right. Normally we're passing at the Rambam, more likely, so let's even call it 70-30. Right? So, isn't that all you need? Enough to create a suffix on a mitzvah d'oraisa, so the risk-reward is still there. Okay. Fourth argument of Rav Eliashiv.
I can put on two sets of tzitzis.
Right, you can put on two sets of tzitzis. You can be Rav Shimer. You can put on however many sets of tzitzis you want and have b'choshish for all the chumras between all of them, right? Because you have to realize, it's something you're not getting the mitzvah of tzitzis if you do it wrong. You're just not getting the mitzvah of tcheles. So if you put on, you know, a beged that has the wrong tcheles, it's like putting on the beged that you have without any tcheles. It's all the same. So the fourth argument, Rav Eliashiv says, is we've been misrepresenting the risk-reward. We've been saying that there's no risk. Discolored tzitzis. There's nothing wrong with discolored tzitzis. He says there is something wrong with discolored tzitzis. There's a din, a chumra l'chadchila, that you need min knaf, that Prima Gadim points out, Kosh Baruch Hu, Gemara says, is nisatef betalis, and he looks like white as snow, meaning he wears a white talis. And we have a din of knaf, min knaf, that the strings are supposed to be the same color as the talis. So mele, we wear white talisim, and our white talis has white strings on the corners of the talis. Knaf min knaf. And if you don't have that, then you're not fulfilling that din lechachila.
But we really have black on our talis.
So the black on our talis we do, ironically, as a zecher l'tcheles. When we lost
really?
The tcheles, yeah, they put stripes on the talis as a zecher to the tcheles. Why black and not blue? A good kasha. There's some sort of machlokas, what color the tcheles really was, if it was a much, much darker color that was closer to black. So we have black on our minigas, we have black on our talis. Doma liyam, the Gemara says, sounds blue at nighttime. Liyam at nighttime, where it looks black, everything looks black. I don't know. But we have black on our talis. Right, doma l'rikia, rikia at night, it's black.
That is blue.
What? Oh, yeah, okay. Now, what about those people that have colored?
White.
There are people that have colored talisim, that have, you know, like, they have colors all over. So Rav Shechter points out, the truth is that's not really so correct, because that's going against this chumra l'charchila to have a talis and the strings the same color. Now, again, it's kosher, but maybe that point, you know, is a way to respond to this point of Rav Eliashiv. What's Rav Eliashiv saying? The risk reward, there really is a risk, because you're risking violating the mitzvah min hamuvchar. What would one respond to that? Okay, so you're risking violating the mitzvah min hamuvchar and getting a mitzvah, still a pretty strong mitzvah. And if you're right about tcheles, you're getting a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not just stam, a chumra of the prima gadim. You can be a chray for every chumra of the prima gadim. I mean, it's you have a chance of mitzvah d'oraisa over here. And Rav Shechter makes that argument in so many words. In his sefer Ginas Egos, he writes in Os Beis, in the Sefer Ginas Egos, Simon Beis, Os Beis, Va'afal pi sharama kasav shenagu shalolu tzva eschutei atzitzis, afilu im habeget savua, even though the Rama says not to color the strings of your tzitzis, even if you have a colored garment, mikol makom zebarish, afilu tzva eschutei beze tzva shuhu, afilu baya habeget kula lavan, if you do color your strings, even if your beget is lavan, v'dievet vada yatsi yidei chavaso, you for sure get the mitzvah. He goes on a few lines later, umemela hayunira pashut. If you have something in your hand that might be tcheles, better to use it for some of the strings and compromise on the minhag of the Ramah. That you have to make all the strings white. Better to compromise that minhag and perhaps get a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a no-brainer. So that argument, not the strongest argument. Argument number five, Rav Sternbach suggests, in his tshuva, that if you're in a shul where many people are not wearing tcheles and you wear tcheles, it's a violation of los haskodidu. That you shouldn't be agudos agudos. You shouldn't divide up the same shul into many different practices. So this is a discussion in poskim. Let's say your family minigzi daven nusach svard, and you're in a shul daven nusach ashkenaz, and it comes time for tachanun. So should you start clapping? Right? Should you do the Nusach Sfard version, or should you do the Nusach Ashkenaz? It will be very evident. Anyone who walks in sees you doing something different than everybody else. So Pash Pshat is still Siskodidu, that it's a problem. There are poskim that say that nowadays in America, where everyone comes from different places, you have people of Polish descent and people of Hungarian descent and people who are, Americans for many generations, and people who are Yekis, and people all in the same shul, and Svardim and everything. All in the same shul. So there are poskim that say it's no longer Lo Siskodidu, because there's no such thing really as a community minhag anymore anyway. Rav Shapta doesn't think so. He thinks that there might be a Los Kodu problem. But even a Los Kodu problem is only if, let's say you're davening in the Nusach Ashkenaz Shul and you daven Nusach Svard. Privately, your own silent Shmon Esrei, could you daven Nusach Svard? Certainly can, right? Your own silent Shmon Esrei, you could daven whatever you want. That's not Los Kodu. So don't wear the Tcheles on your Talis Gadol. Wear it on your Talis Kata. It's not going to be Los Kodu. You can get around that problem fairly easily. So, problem number six. Rav Shturmach says, well, if you really think you're doing a mitzvah d'oraisa by having this tcheles, and you're having kavana for a mitzvah d'oraisa, and you're not doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's bal tosef. To have kavana l'shem mitzvah d'oraisa, you're not doing a mitzvah d'oraisa. How do you get around that problem? Have kavana that it's a safek mitzvah d'oraisa. You don't have to have kavana when you put on the tzitzis that I'm 100% sure this is the real tcheles. Have kavana that I'm 80% sure this is the real tcheles. It's not baltosif if you have kavanah to do a mitzvah when you have a suffix d'oraisa and you're just going l'churma. It's hard to call that baltosif. Doesn't seem like the strongest argument. Argument number, in general, if you have nine arguments, nine reasons not to do something, no one of them is going to be the one that sticks out. Reason number seven, Rav Shechter writes in Ginas Egos, I apologize, I didn't number the pages over here, but if you look in the last page of Ginas Egos in the packet, which is, I guess, the third to last page of the packet, the last Ginas Egos page. So he writes, someone's really trying to call me here. Okay, so he writes, in the underlined section, that which they say in the name of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, even though he held that the Regina Rebbe's Tcheles was right, for political reasons, he didn't want to use it. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. So says Rav Shechter, huh? What does that mean? Political reasons? So I asked Rav Shechter, you didn't write in your Sefer what the political reasons were. What were his political reasons? Rav Shechter said that the rumor had it, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan was convinced it was the right Tcheles, but he didn't want to use it because they were very busy fighting the Reform. Reform was making inroads, and he had to be careful not to look like too much of a weirdo. If you look strange and you start doing strange things, then you're going to repel people rather than bring people close. And he was worried about that. Time and politium. So Rav Shechter says about that, Hudavar tamua ma'od. Taloein chachma vein etza vein tvun l'l neger Hashem. God gave us a book of mitzvahs that we're supposed to do. You do the mitzvahs and God takes care of the rest. What do you mean? You're going to say, I'm putter from doing mitzvahs because it's going to look weird, and if it looks weird to carry a branch and a citrus fruit on Sukkot, you're not going to do that because, and it's mamash the same, mitzvah d'oraisa. So you're not going to do it because it's going to look strange? May he see that we have a right to make such a call. How could you violate even a suffik avera because of political reasons? He thought that was the strangest thing in the world. That because of political reasons, and of all the svaras, who does more successful kiruv nowadays than chabadniks do? In terms of reaching out to people and getting people to somehow buy in to their system throughout the world. And who looks weirder? They put on funny hats. They don't shave. They look very unusual. They don't look like very modern people. They seem to be pretty successful. So what? Because he's going to have a blue string on his tcheles, on his tzitzis. That's going to cause very, very strange. That doesn't seem like the strongest reason not to use the tcheles. The time in politium. Two more reasons. Rav Shlomo Miller, who's a rav in Toronto, very well respected rav in Toronto, wrote a tshuva, really against Rav Shechter, addressing some of Rav Shechter's points. And he writes that there are three, as we mentioned before, there are three shitos in how to tie the tcheles. How many strings to make tcheles, rather. 1 out of 8, 2 out of 8, 4 out of 8. Right? Those are the three shitos. So he says, if the halach is 1 out of 8, and you do 4 out of 8, it's baltosif. So he says, how are you going to pass from the Shaila? Again, it's Machlokas Rishonim, Rambam, Ravid, Rashi, who's going to pass from? And it's not that you don't risk anything, because if you pass it wrong, and you have what's really the real Tcheles, if you're right, you're in trouble, he says. If you have what's the real Tcheles, and you pass it wrong, then you might be violating Mishnah Doraisa of Baal Tosef. If you have the fake Tcheles, he says, then you're not gaining anything, but it won't be Baal Tosef either. He says, I hold you don't have the real Tcheles anyway, so it's not going to be a problem. But Lishi Tascha, that you think you have the real Tcheles, so you, if you pass it too much, it's going to be Baal Tosef. If you pass it too little, it's going to be Baal Tigra. Whichever way you go, you're going to be violating, you might be violating Mishnah Doraisa according to some Rishonim. Is that the definition of Baal Tigra? Right?
Well, yes, it's hard to say. I guess, yeah.
So that's his argument. So far, I think of all the ones we saw, probably the strongest. Right? His last argument, which is number 9, is probably the weakest of all the ones we saw. His last argument is that, Rav Shlomo Miller also writes, that the Sitra Achra has an achiza on Kali Ilan. Kali Ilan is the false Tcheles, and he says that it says in Ben Yoyada, in the Kabbalistic Agada Svarim, that the Sitra Achra, the Satan, grabs on to false Tcheles, so it's better to have no Tcheles than false Tcheles. Again, these are in Halachic Mar Makoma, so it's irrelevant. Right? But reason number 8, which is Rav Shlomo Miller's first reason,
I can't understand that. If the
which way? Reason number 8 or number 9?
Reason number 8.
Yeah.
That if it says that you're supposed to have tchelus on your tzitzis, and it doesn't say how much of the tzitzis is supposed to be tchelus, and you use one of the 8, there can't be any. Why should that be Baal Tosef?
Again, if you use 1 out of 8, then it might be Baal Tigra. If the halacha is really supposed to do 4 out of 8. And you did 1 out of 8.
It doesn't say that. There's no place where it tells you how many.
There are. There are 3 separate shittos in Rishonim. The Rishonim argue about what you're supposed to do.
This is the Rishonim doing. Okay.
The Rishonim argue. Rashi, Rambam, Ravid, right? Rishonim argue about this. So if it's Machlokes Rishonim and you guess wrong in terms of that, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin. So normally we have Machlokes Rishonim in everything we do in Judaism. But we do it anyway, and we're not worried about Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra because we have a Shulchan Aruch that we follow. Shulchan Aruch paskins. So this is what it really boils down to. In the absence of a Shulchan Aruch, do we hide? Do we say, well, if the Shulchan Aruch didn't paskin, no one else can paskin? Or in the absence of a Shulchan Aruch, do we say, okay, the Shulchan Aruch didn't deal with this, so we need to paskin based on the Rishonim and figure out how the Shulchan Aruch would have paskined or how our tradition should paskin? So if Shechter says, it doesn't make sense that when the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin, for us to just hide from it. And say, oh, we can't be Machriya. What do you mean? Shouldn't the Shulchan Aruch have said, oh, Rambam, Rashi, how am I supposed to be Machriya? I'm not as great as them. Rav Yosef Kairo paskin. That's Pesach Halacha. That's what you do. You learn the Sugya, you learn it with the Rishonim, you figure out which Rishon seems to work better in the Sugya, and you paskin. That's what a Morah Hara is allowed to do. And it's not Baal Tosef when you follow a Morah Hara to paskin the right way. What he believes to be the right way. So that's Rav Shachter's rejection of that argument. Now, why yes to use it? So much less to talk about in terms of why yes, right? Because it's very obvious why yes. When you have a possibility of doing mitzvah daraisa, there's a rule in halacha called safek daraisa l'chumra. Whenever you have a safek on a din daraisa, you go in your machmir so that you might be able to do that mitzvah daraisa. So Rav Shechter points out that they say in yeshivas, in the name of Reb Chaim, that you don't apply Savik Daraisa L'Chumra to this kind of case. Because, so Savik Daraisa L'Chumra is if, let's say I'm not sure if I benched. So Savik Daraisa L'Chumra will tell me to bench. Right? Now that I bench again, now I know for sure I benched. But Savik Daraisa L'Chumra does not tell me that in a situation where even if I am machmir, I'm still not going to be sure if I did the mitzvah, then we're not going to apply Savik Daraisa L'Chumra. Savik Daraisa L'Chumra, they say in the name of Reb Chaim, only works if after you're machmir, now you don't have a safek anymore. But let's say I'm not sure if this is real tcheles. So I'm going to be machmir and put it on, still don't know if it's real tcheles. Still don't know if I did the mitzvah. That's what they say from Reb Chaim. So maybe you shouldn't apply Savik Daraisa L'Chumra. Says Rav Shechter, yes, that's what they say from Reb Chaim, And Primogadim even understands the Magen Avraham like this. However, it seems to be against the Ran in Maseches Sukkah. The Ran talks about the following case. First day of Sukkot is ending, and you have not yet taken Lulav and Esrog, and it's Bein HaShmashos now. Halach is on the first day of Sukkot, Lulav and Esrog is Daraisa. It's Bein HaShmashos now. Suffolk, whether it's still Yom, and there's therefore still a Chiyuv of taking Lulav and Esrog. Or suffolk, whether it's already Laila and you missed the boat already. Says the Ran, suffolk daraisa l'chumra, take it. Now in that case, after I take Lulav Nesrog, do I know for sure I took Lulav Nesrog during the day? I don't, because it was still Bein HaShmashos when I took it. I have not been poshet the suffolk of Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is still a suffolk. So, Roshach says it's nice, Reb Chaim's Shita is known, but it's against Rishonim. So I'm not achroy for Reb Chaim when he's against Rishonim. That's what Reb Shachter argues. Shlomo Miller got all upset about this. That Rav Shachter, again, he doesn't call out Reb Shachter by name, probably wouldn't quote him by name, but he says that Reb Shachter should know that Gavar Rabba Amar Milsa in Maznichen Oso. That when an Adam Gadol says something, you can't just sneeze it away. You have to pay careful attention to it. And he says if you pay attention to what Reb Chaim's really saying, you'll realize that it's not a kasha Reb Chaim at all from the Ran. He says, here's the chilek. The Ran talks about taking lulav Bein HaShmashos. Once you've taken lulav Bein HaShmashos, is there any doubt that you still have more to do? That you then still have an achrayus to do something else? No, you don't know if you've done the mitzvah. But if you haven't, it's too late anyway. And if you have, then you've done it, right? You definitely don't have to do anything from here on in once you take the Lulav Nesrog and Bein HaShmashos. You're definitely done. When it comes to, however, he keeps calling me, when it comes to a situation of Tcheles, you put the Tcheles on your Beged, and you're not sure if it's real Tcheles, you still might have to do more. You might have to keep looking. Keep searching for the real Tcheles. He says, that's what Reb Chaim meant. And therefore, in this situation, Shlomo Miller thinks that we would not apply Safek Daraisa. He has a beautiful piece of lumdus afterwards, connecting it to a famous machlokas, whether Safek Daraisa L'chumra is a Din Daraisa, or Safek Daraisa L'chumra itself is only Din Darabban, a very nice little piece of lumdus afterwards. But that's what he thinks, that you shouldn't apply Safek Daraisa L'chumra. Now, Rav Shechter has one more maramako. This is a wild one. There's a Turei Evan that says that whenever you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah min amuvchar and you choose not to, it's Baltigra. It's a violation of Baltigra midaraisa, Nisa daraisa Baltigra. Now, our forefathers didn't wear tcheles, they didn't have it. They didn't have the opportunity to have it, to wear it. So it wasn't Baltigra, they did whatever they could. That's not a violation of Baltigra. But if you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah daraisa, and you choose, or to do a mitzvah the right way, to do tzitzis in the best possible way, and you choose to do it in a less good way, violation of Baltigra midaraisa, Nisa daraisa Baltigra. That's what Rav Shechter said. That's what the Prima Gadim says. You know, Rav Shechter is just applying it. Turi Evan says, rather, Rav Shechter is just applying it. Says Rav Shechter, therefore, nowadays, that we have Tcheles available to us, if we go and we wear tzitzis that only has Lavan, it's a violation of Nisa Daraisa of Baltigra, and therefore it's better not to wear tzitzis at all. Don't wear a beged of Dalet Kanfos. If you don't wear a beged of Dalet Kanfos, then you won't need tzitzis. There's no technical chiyuv of tzitzis. But if you do wear a beggar with Dalet Kanfos and you don't put on tchelis, it's Baltigra midaraisa. So I asked Rav Shechter, I drove him in a couple of years ago, I drove him home from a shir. I said, Rebbe, I teach 11th graders. Should I get up to my shir of 11th graders and tell them that it's better not to wear tzitzis if you don't have tchelis? And he said, yeah, that's exactly what you should tell them. I don't know of anyone else that agrees with that particular mahalich, but that's how far he takes it. Now, what do people actually do? So I asked Rav Shechter, he was not happy with Rav Eliyashiv's tshuva for all the reasons that we pointed out. He thought Rav Eliyashiv's tshuva was very weak in terms of all the arguments that he made. And he said that he had heard that what really happened over there was that the Tcheles people went to Rav Eliyashiv, they presented what they had. Rav Eliyashiv said to them, I'm convinced, but let me ask you something. If 20,000 Haredim order Tcheles tomorrow, what's going to happen? And they would say, they said to him, well, we would never be able to fill the order and it would cost thousands of dollars a pair because the demand would be so high. And he said, I got people starving in the Haredi community. I'm going to have them spend thousands of dollars in Tcheles. I can't do it. It's Sakonis Nefashos. I can't do it. So that's what they say behind the scenes, what is what really happened with Rav Eliezer. Whether the story is true or not, I have no idea. Rav Schachter seemed to believe it. He thought it was a true story, but I have no idea. I do know that there are several Rabbanim that wear it secretly. There was a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not a secret. I wear it on my talus also. But there's a, and I'm not, I just do it because Rosh Hashanah does it. I'm not a daya. But there's a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva in the tri-state area who recently, was a big scandal in the yeshivisha place. He was giving a shir or something and his shirt came untucked and his tzitzis came out and there's tchelis there and everyone's like, everyone just, the whole yeshiva couldn't believe it. And since then he's been very careful to keep himself tucked in. So there are people that, again, Safik Daraisa, that are compelled, feel compelled by the fact that it's at least.
How could Rabbi Shech tell you that they should not wear tzitzis, they should not wear a beged with abakantus, rather than put the thing if he wears it himself?
No.
What he's saying is, if you're not going to have tcheles, if you're going to have tcheles, then of course wear it. That's what he says. But if you're not going to have tcheles, and he holds that it's Baltigra to wear it with just the chute lava, with only the white strings.
Oh, if you have trelas,
then you wear it, yeah.
Trelas, so you should.
Yeah. It happens to be Gedolei Yisrael have not worn it. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman, this came out when Rav Shlomo Zalman was still alive, he did not wear it. Even in the modern Orthodox world, they asked Rav Aaron Lichtenstein about it, he does not wear it, and he says, I'm more comfortable wearing the same tzitzit as my father and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather wore. You know, he's very traditional in that way, and he thought, you know, that we have a certain Masorah, and we should follow the Masorah. So there are many, many, many more Gedolim that don't wear it than do wear it. But again, in terms of just the arguments in Halacha, it's a pretty strong argument. A Savi Daraisa L'Chumra argument is a pretty strong argument. Okay, maybe we'll do.